Hey everybody, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to deal with people on your team that are breaking the rules or disobeying you or doing exactly the opposite of what you're telling them to do.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
Here's why I want to talk to you about this, Heaton. I got an email yesterday from a sales manager, and he was basically telling me that he's having this challenge. He has this salesperson on the team, and the salesperson seems to be kind of just like constantly wanting to do the exact opposite of what the sales manager is telling the entire team to do. And so as an example, he shared many examples. One example that he shared was that he basically, you know, they had a team meeting and he told people that moving forward, they should not demo more than four features in the product in the first kind of online demo that they do, because it's shown that when it's too many features that are being demoed in the first call, it kind of like is overwhelming. It's not getting good results. So what does everybody do? Everybody kind of follows his advice and just, you know, starts limiting the amount of features they're demoing. But then this person, this salesperson, was demoing 10, 11 features and basically going around telling the team, hey, I've just had a demo and I demoed 11 features and it went amazing. And I think the more you demo, the better. It's basically just like promoting and shouting out to everybody that she did the exact opposite of what was told to her and that it's working really, really great. Now, on top of her apparently performing that way in terms of like, is always going the opposite direction of what was told to her, she's also underperforming. So her just general quota, she only hits whatever, 60, 70% of our quota, and she's not doing as well as the rest of the team. So this sales manager was basically asking, hey, how do I deal with this? I think the person has potential, the person is definitely talented, but you know, it's getting really disruptive and difficult. You know, what would you advise to do? So I thought that it's kind of an interesting challenge to have. Doesn't matter if you're like a sales manager or a marketing manager, you have somebody on your team, or if you're the founder or CEO and somebody, the overall company is potentially very, you know, in a very strong fashion, going the opposite direction of what you wanted them to do or what you told the team to do. How do you deal with those situations? I thought it might make a fascinating topic for us to talk about.
Yeah, I like to really figure out, just like in most situations, I really like to figure out why.
Mm-hmm.
And want to figure out why. I mean, my first advice to this person would be like, why do you think she's doing that? So that's number one. Then number two would, and asking just the person who's emailing me, right, that wants the advice, so the person that emailed you. The second question I go for on that would be, have you talked to her about it? And what has she said about it? Because this could just be someone who's generally has a certain personality, maybe very excitable, very excited about having a great call or whatever, or, you know, might not be a culture fit, might not really be willing to follow the rules, but there's such an, you know, a myriad of reasons why this person might be doing that. And making an assumption about the person, even based on behavior, might not be as good as like literally sitting the person down. Not having a talking to with her, but like literally speaking to her as a human to human and saying, hey, what's going on? I noticed this pattern, you know, or this thing. And I like calling these things patterns if they're repetitive, and really trying to figure out like what this person was thinking or what's going on in their head. Clearly, you know, some language like clearly, you know, I've been telling the team not to do what you're telling the team to do. And you seem to have a great call doing that. But what that's doing is causing the team to be confused as to what to do, right? And that's not what we want. So just an explanation and things like that. And honestly, like my gut feeling tells me that this person's just not necessarily a good fit for the team and doesn't really get the process that's in place and want to follow it.
Yeah, that's funny. It's my first reaction was fairly similar. So to me, in these types of situations, like the why and the how really matter, right? So what is the reason why this person is doing this really matters. And some people, and sitting down and having a conversation is definitely like, I mean, you should not be like guessing at some point, especially in this situation where he is the manager. you know, the first few times this happens, there should be a conversation, an open conversation, just like you mentioned, where it sits down and just tries to understand why. Why is this happening? Like, what's the perspective that this person has? What's the motivation? What drives this person to act in this particular way? But to me, there's good reasons and bad reasons, right? And good reasons, obviously, to me are, you know, is any time a person is passionate about a specific idea or an approach and just wants to champion it to the degree where they get some data or some more proof that they might be right to get back to the team, versus some people just habitually like to be in opposition, or they get a kick out of doing, like, just sticking it to the man, to the proverbial man, or like to the just showing everybody that they don't care, showing everybody how much of a renegade or how much of a rebel they are. Some people just like to be contrarians, right? And there's nothing against that. That can be an interesting person, but it can be also incredibly disruptive. And some people, the reason why they do the opposite of you is that they just think that their ideas are always better and they just can't adopt somebody else's approach or idea. And that's, to me, those are really bad reasons, versus if you truly care so much that you're so passionate about the idea, not so much that it's your idea, that you want to move on. And then the how is also important. Like, are you somebody that when you disagree with whatever the your CEO, your manager, whoever it is, are you going to be somebody that is going to be complaining and whining about this and constantly talking about it and constantly just like confusing everybody else? Or, you know, if you honestly disagree and you can't convince your manager in a conversation, you just, you know, shut the fuck up. You go and you take a little bit of action to generate some results, and then you bring those results back to the manager and go, hey, I know that you said we should do A. I really believe B could also be a viable option. So I went ahead and I did a little test, and here's the numbers. I just wanted to give you more data, more information, so you can decide what's best for the team. So like, if you take action to generate insights and data and results and enrich the conversation in the team, to me, that's very different than if you're a person that when you disagree with something your manager says, you just complain and whine and argue about it all day long, right? Which is, so the why and the how really matters a lot. But ultimately, I went back and forth with this guy yesterday in email about this. And, you know, apparently he has had a few kind of quote unquote softer conversations where at first he was just like curious why she was doing this and kind of what she's thinking about all of this. And apparently her answers to this were that she just didn't believe that he was right with some of the directions that he was giving to the sales team, and that she was thinking that, you know, his approach is not the right approach for everybody, and she just wants to be an individual and have her own way of doing things. But apparently this, and he's given me some examples that I'm not going to be able to share in the podcast, but apparently I think the conclusion we were getting to in the conversation was that maybe it's just part of her personality, and then it's really tough. Like, he was asking, if somebody is that type of personality, what can you do to coach them and manage them out of it? And honestly, I'm not sure that it's worth the amount of energy and effort to completely change a human if it's that big of a part of their personality. It might just be better to help them find a team or a place where they can be their full self and it's totally aligned with the culture and how the company wants to operate, versus trying to change her or change somebody, right?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, my gut was this is her personality, right? Just from seeing so many different people and different behaviors, and it's just not a good fit for, you know, the company, which is totally reasonable. Like, that's a very common thing, actually, right? Like, the way someone prefers to operate and behave and act in a company environment might not be aligned with your company. And that's something I think that a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to change or fix, so to speak. It's not fixable like that. It's like someone's personality, right? And if there's a pattern, that's why I call it a pattern, you know? And it's a nice way to say, like, you know, this has been repeating and we should change something, right?
Yeah. Now, there are good examples of this, right? So I'm not, And I would be surprised if you were any different on this. I think it's a sign of a healthy culture to have people disagree on things, but also B, once in a while, have somebody just like do it anyways. Like, you know, break the rules or break the guidelines, or, you know, instead of asking for permission at some point, just asking for forgiveness and going ahead and doing something. I don't think that that's necessarily like a sign of a bad company or a bad team. Like, it's not the military. Like, I don't believe in like teams where it's super hierarchical and, you know, whatever the manager says, everybody has to like always obey by that. People being confident and passionate enough to break the rules once in a while, I think that's a sign of a healthy thing. Now, if it happens all the time, it's super disruptive, and then it's kind of like toxic. But I have many examples. I don't know. I'm sure you do too. But I have tons of examples at Close where people did the exact opposite of what I told them to do, and they were right, right? And they came back and they proved, like, we would not have a logo if people listened to me, because I told two guys that came to me that wanted a logo. No, literally, they came to me and they said, Stelly, we need to have a logo. We're launching in like 6 weeks. And I said, fuck this. Logo doesn't matter. We're just going to have the name. Logo Schmogo. It's at the very bottom of the list of things that truly matter in the world. Just go and do something else. Don't bother me about this. And like 2 days later, they send
a logo.
Yeah, two days later, they send an email to team at... And they went,
oh, yeah.
Well, we put a 99 design project on, and here are our top two choices. We really like the first one. And literally everybody in the team, including me, we looked at those two and we went, huh, the first one is really, yeah, that's good. That's our new logo, right? That's it. That's the logo that you see today. That's the whole thought process that went into selecting a logo. These two guys just completely ignored what I told them, and they went ahead and did it anyways. And it was fine. Like, it didn't take much time, and the entire team agreed that, yeah, this one is actually cool. And that's how we, and there's so many examples I have of people, me saying, Cora is another example. I'll just give you one more example on this. Cora was another example. When we launched Close in January 2013, Cora was kind of, on the rise and still a thing that lots of people were talking about in the Valley. And we had a teammate, and she was, you know, very passionate about the idea that we should try to market clothes on Quora and do stuff on Quora. And I took a look, and honestly, at first I didn't fully understand Quora. And I looked at it and I was like, yeah, I don't get it. This is a waste of time. And I told her, don't waste your time on Quora. Just write more blog posts and do more this and do more that. Please don't waste your time on that thing. And she went ahead and did it anyways, right? She completely ignored me, and she found like 5 or 6 questions that had a lot of traffic, a lot of votes, a lot of comments. And that were around like, what CRM should a startup select, and like startup and sales, and some very relevant kind of questions to our business and what we offer. And she wrote really thoughtful answers, and she posted them. And for the first 3 or 4 months, or actually for a really long time, but especially in the beginning, Quora was one of our best, highest quality source of traffic. Like, we converted a ton of customers through these Quora questions. And Quora became a really big part of our content strategy and our like marketing strategy. And I have so many examples of people just completely ignoring what I told them and then proving me wrong. And obviously, I don't have as readily available, funny enough, but I'm sure there's many examples where I told somebody not to do something and they did it and it was a bad idea to do it, right? And then they course corrected that. But I love that people on the team have always been comfortable with at some certain times not listening to me and proving me wrong. I love that. And once somebody proves me wrong, when somebody comes back to me with like proof that their idea was actually right and they didn't spend months and months and months on it, which is very risky, and they weren't toxic about it, like running around telling everybody, arguing with me, they just went to work, and they came back with results that proved them right. In that situation, I never had a conversation that was like, well, didn't I tell you not to do this? Like, I just looked at it and went, well, shit, this is awesome. All right, let's do more of this, right? And this it shouldn't be about you and your ego if you're a good leader, a good manager, or, well, they disobeyed me or they didn't listen to me. Who cares? Like, we're all just trying to make the company successful, hopefully, and we're all just trying to accomplish the same goals. And in this situation, you happen to be wrong, which to me is awesome. Like, this is a chance for me to learn and grow. So I don't know. I just think that a good team culture is one where you have diverse opinions and you have the people feel comfortable arguing. And at times when people can't convince each other with words, I think it's a good sign to have people that just go ahead and create some results and come back and try to convince people with results. And sometimes even like do the exact opposite of what was told to them to do.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think there's a fine line. And I think a lot of it has to do, in my mind, with how you do it. Meaning, how does someone go against what, in quotes, I'm going to say, the boss said, right? And their way of doing it is so much more important than the fact that they're doing it. And, you know, if it's something repetitive and it's personality and either they're doing it for their ego or a disagreement that they're not willing to discuss with you, I think it can turn, you know, bad, so to speak. And a lot of it has to do with it's a pattern of disobedience. It's just something that they naturally do versus, oh, Steli's just saying no, but we know it's right, so we're going to do it. I think some of the examples you gave, it wasn't just one person either, which I think is also an interesting sort of take. But honestly, I'll say one thing about this, and it's really important. I'm curious what you have to say. But the one thing I will say about this is that it has everything to do with the culture of the company. Like, if the company is a command and control culture where, like, everything's top down, so to speak, or, you know, the highest paid person or the smartest person or the founders or the CEO or the executives are the bosses and they're dictating everything, then that means that what you're saying about challenging what they say is just not accepted in the same way. While in your case, I think you have a different culture where you're like, yeah, I might say no, but I'm willing to change my mind. Or I might say no, but if you go do it and it's amazing, I'm not going to complain. But a lot of other folks would, you know, that I've seen, depending on the culture and depending on the style in the company, even if it was a great endeavor and it worked, they'd still be upset about it because somebody disobeyed them.
Yeah, and I think that the reason for that is that a lot of people are fairly insecure about their authority, right, and how they're being perceived. So when somebody is overstepping them and does something like this, then they are so afraid and so insecure about how that's going to be perceived by other people that they are overreacting as a response. They're like, oh shit, people are not taking me serious. People don't think that I really have authority. What if I let this go? Then other people will just not listen to me. And they overreact to this, where if you find a manager or a founder or a leader within a team that's really centered and grounded in their authority and comfortable and confident in who they are, it should not shake them if somebody once in a while like breaks the rule or does something opposite to what they said. Again, everything, lots of things matter, right? Nuance and context matters so much here because you break the rules and you bring back success. It's very different than when you break the rules and you bring back failure, right? And then how much time, how much energy, how much money did you spend to figure this out also matters, right? If people had wasted 6 months on something I told them not to do and they came back and they didn't bring real results, I'd be pretty pissed. Versus if they spend a day and they come back and they don't have the results that I promised, I'd be like, all right, you know, you had it in your heart to go and prove this further and now you know it's not working. So let's get back with the program. Or if they prove me wrong, then I'm like, oh shit, I'm wrong. Let's go. But I think that people that are really super sensitive to it, usually it's because they're not convinced of their own authority and they're too worried about what everybody else will think. So they're like, they can't deal with the fact that somebody potentially in front of lots of other people disagree with them or disobeys them or whatever you want. Disobey is a weird word, but I can't come up with another word for this.
That is the word.
That is the word. It's such a weird word.
It's a culture thing, right? Some cultures are just designed around the fact that, you know, it's focused on the ideas of a set of people and their opinions or execution. And that if anyone does anything that's not in agreement with that, it's disobedience. And you'd be surprised at how many people have companies that are like that. And so I think this, the importance of this topic is like to know the difference, right? And also it's like, here's a weird thing. Nobody wants anybody else to do something against what they said. Just in general, right? So this, you're hitting a lot of resistance in general. That's why I say that like it's disobedience if you're the manager, you're the boss. And a better word would be it's a disagreement of what to do, but then one party loses in most cases. In your case, the way you treat this is if they do something that I said, you know, we shouldn't do and it works, great. And if it doesn't work, they learn. I don't care. You know what I mean? That would be your attitude. I know that. Be like, I don't know. I was right. Whatever, right? Moving on. Because you just make decisions really fast and it's your way. For me, I'll give one perspective before this episode's over. And again, would love to hear your thoughts on this. But for me, I'm like, I just try not to have that strong of an opinion about something, you know, unless it's really subjective and it deserves my opinion in that way. And what I mean by that is like, in your logo situation, I'd be like, look, if you guys, or gals, whatever, you people on the team don't, you know, think it's great, then just find a way to spend the least amount of time on it because we have so much to do before we launch. that probably would have been the Heaton answer if, you know, you asked me. Versus being like, I don't care about the logo, whatever. Right? Which probably would have been, yeah, or like, no, don't do that. For me, it's like, look, we can't waste time on
context, because if someone's bringing something and it's important to them, my whole opinion of it is like, well, here's why it's not important to me and the company. But if you really think it is, just find a way to get it done, but not let it disrupt everything else we're trying to do. And honestly, your team automatically did that, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I couldn't agree more. I think it is absolutely a cultural thing. And I honestly, I don't even want to point fingers and say that cultures that are different are necessarily less successful. I just think that depending on what the right, depending on what the culture is, you as a team member need to know how to operate. And also, if you're in a leadership position, I think that you need to be clear on how you want to handle these situations and be consistent in the way that you're handling them so that people know how to deal with this. In my company, I think people know I have my voice carries a lot of weight, but they also know that it's okay to disagree with me or to argue with me or to do something opposing to what I said if they can back it up with data and if they move really fast, and that it's not going to be a big deal. So they're comfortable doing it once in a while. It doesn't happen all the time. But nobody's totally afraid of doing it once in a while. And they also know that there's no seniority to it. The why and the how is much more important than the who does this. So yeah, I think it's all about culture and being cohesive in that way. But anyways, I think a fascinating subject, how do you deal with people that are not listening or doing the opposite of what you told them to do, is something I've never read anywhere else or never heard anybody else talk about. So I thought it might be valuable to the startup kind of community for the two of us to at least share. And I was curious to hear your thoughts on this as well. All right, so I think we'll wrap this up with some tips. What's the final tip for the episode?
Be aware. Be aware. Just be aware of patterns in other people, especially if you're leading, managing, CEOing, foundering, or even being in the company. I'm sure there are people on that sales team that notice this lady being the way she is. Right. And as a manager, if you really want to get conviction on, you know, making a change there, whatever that may be, you can also just talk to other people, be like, oh, I noticed she sent that email. What do you think about what she said? Right. And it's not to cause politics or cause a stir. It's just to get a gauge from your team. And I think there's a lot of ways to be aware. I'm just giving examples. So to me, like, awareness is so much more important than reaction, you know, in these situations. So I wouldn't necessarily react. I'd make sure that, you know, you have an objective view on what's going on and why.
I love that. I don't even want to add a tip to that. Let's just wrap this episode up on this one. This is it from us for this week. We'll see you very, very soon.
Bye.